Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, January 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page XXIX, the third line from the top, after they have succumbed to the desire again, through two sentences ending with very little hope of his recovery. And the comments will be on these two sentences only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marissa E., the 12 Traditions, Nancy S., the readers of the text, Leslie M., Wendy B., and Robin P. And the share ID for Monday, January 14th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,416. That's 12416. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,418. That's 12418. Again, 12418. Our newcomer greeter is Melanie C., and Gina R. will do our announcements. OA's preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Marissa E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E., and I will now ask Nancy S. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy S. from Wisconsin, a recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, since the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do this service, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Nancy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXIX, the third line from the top. After they have succumbed to the desire again, through two sentences ending with very little hope of his recovery. And the comments will be on these two sentences only. And our person to get us started is Leslie M.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. After they have succumbed to desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. Thank you. This is Leslie M. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And this two sentences describe my life perfectly before 10 months ago, because I would continue, I would give in to the mental obsession, the craving would start, I would not be able to control my food, and each morning, next morning, I would wake up, yeah, that's not going to happen again today. But because I hadn't experienced an entire psychic change, it happened. You know, it said this is repeated over and over. And I've been in OA for 28 years. So I've been around the meetings, the steps, and I still did not have the psychic change. What I've learned is that I needed to take all the actions that were are described in this book, and all the actions that my sponsor directed me to take. You know, I've heard it often on this line, instead of saying yes, but, I started to say yes, ma'am, and found that that was what those actions that I was asked to take are what got me to the point where I could finally, not start. You know, I didn't have to succumb to the desire again, because at this point, the desire has been removed from me. And I'm so very grateful. I lived a lot of years in this disease, have suffered, all the indignities and the desire to want to stop, and being unable to, I felt that And when I had my last binge, I thought that the food was going to be my master. But, you know, I did give it that one more shot and was willing to do anything. You know, that gift of desperation I was given this time around, and very, very grateful for it. You know, and that was what propelled me into, you know, listening to my sponsor, you know, following the directions in this book so that I could have that entire psychic change. And thankful, you know, thankful also always to my higher power for all the removal of the obsession, and for all of you. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M., for getting us started. Let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXIX, the third line from the top. After they have succumbed to the desire again through two sentences, ending with very little hope of his recovery. Comments on both sentences. I'll take names now.
Jackie
A.
Jackie R.
B.
Robin D. Z.
Robin B. Z. Was it?
D like dog.
Okay, D. Actually, I have Jackie
E.
Robin D. Go ahead.
Marissa
Gina R.
E.
Marissa.
Julie E. B.
Julie E. B. I'm missing somebody in there. Was getting in there. Could you come up?
Gina
again?
R.
Gina
R.
R. Oh, sorry, Gina. So I have Jackie H., Robin D., Marissa E., Julie E. B., Gina R. I can take a few more.
Robin.
Rob, was that another Robin?
Yes, it's another Robin, Robin P.
Okay, Robin P., and there was someone after you, Robin.
Rowena K.
Marina K.
Rowena, yeah.
Rowena, I got you. Okay, I got you, Rowena K. All right, let's go with that. Jackie H., Robin D., Marissa E., Julie E. B., Gina R., Robin P., and Rowena K. Okay, Jackie H., get us started.
Good morning, everybody. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Thank you for your service, Mo, and everybody else on this day. When I read this morning, it just, my memory, it took me way back to when I was a little girl. Here was this little girl, 12 years old probably, whatever was going on, terrified of being heavy, just terrified of the world probably, right? And I would restrict for a while, and then I learned. I found out a secret that I thought I was the only one that knew, that I could eat anything I wanted and I could just go purge, and then I wouldn't have to take responsibility for all that because I wouldn't look like it, right? And I remember the desperation. I would go to bed at night and do the math. That was then. I'm 71 now, so all of this time, and 6 months ago is when I came into this program. So anyway, I would go to bed at night and pray, and I would write notes all over my bedroom. Don't eat today. Don't eat today. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. And I had this sense that I was going to die. I did not know, and that was before Karen Carpenter did die of this disease, and so I didn't know. I lost my period, I was losing my hair, I was malnourished, and nobody really knew what was wrong with me, and it did not get addressed. And so I went, some of those behaviors quit, but it changed over the years. I was still so obsessed with food. And other things showed up. I got other substances that I was addicted to, other stuff. And finally, but it was just as miserable as it was when I was a little girl. It just didn't look the same, right? And so 6 months ago, I came in here, and oh my goodness, today this little I'm gonna cry. This little girl that was so scared and so fearful of everything stands here today, a recovered woman with a psychic change, with a higher power that has my back, and with a message to give to other people who are suffering from this. And I am I'm delighted. I am enthralled. That's the word I feel. As I stand here this morning with something to give and to be of service, I'm no longer just wrapped up in my own self and my selfish needs and my selfishness and my self-pity and my victimization. I have something to offer and to hold my hand out and to offer a person that's suffering from this. So if you're new and you're on the line, please keep coming back. Get a sponsor. Thank you. And do this program. Thank you so much. I love you all. Have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Robin D., followed by Marissa E. Robin?
Good morning. This is Robin DZ, a hopeful compulsive overeater in South Carolina. The phrase, the part of the sentence that says this is repeated over and over, that is a perfect description of my attempts at dieting my entire adult life. And this year I will be 57, so I've been going round and round with food a long time. Past promises to myself and others and past New Year's resolutions always failed because I didn't have the power to accomplish them. I had to finally give up on the illusion that I was capable of using self-control and self-discipline. I came to the end of my supposed self-sufficiency. I admitted my plans and my ideas were not enough. My good was not good enough. My strength was not strong enough. I realized I couldn't rely upon myself. I finally came to the place where I realized it would take a power greater than myself to overcome my chronic compulsive overeating. It was when I came to the place of yielding and surrender and self-sacrifice that I found hope. And that hope lies within the steps of this program. So if you think that your condition is hopeless, don't give up. Keep listening. Keep calling people, asking for help, because there is hope. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin DZ. Marissa E., followed by Julie EB.
Hey, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., recovered compulsive overeater. I just wanted to hone in on this entire psychic change. Because here we are on XXIX, right? And, you know, it's like, whoa, well, like, what do I have to do? Oh, an entire psychic change. And then, you know, how do I get that? Like, where do I start? And, you know, we just turn the page, XXX, you know, down to the bottom. It says the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence, right? So I did. I looked up in the dictionary. What does entire mean? With no part left out, whole, unbroken, undamaged, unimpaired, unmarked. And, you know, I can admit that before in this program, I did not have entire abstinence. And it says, half measures availed us nothing. And I remember I heard a speaker one time and she joked how, you know, she'd been in and out a chronic slipper. And she joked, like, half measures availed me something, right? And I laughed, and I was like, yeah, it availed me something, too. And, you know, I wish that was true. I really do. But, you know, despite going to meetings, despite having weight loss, despite, you know, career success and relationship success, you know, I was a chronic slipper in these rooms. And at the end of the day, right, I still hated myself just as much. I think I was better at hiding it. I still was restless, irritable, and discontent. Maybe I had some tools that I could use. And at the same time, you know, those half measures, you know, that got me nothing. And, you know, it was putting down the food entirely, right, with no part left out, no secret tiny little ingredient, no secret tiny little behavior that I was going to hang on to. It had to be entire and whole, so that I could get this entire psychic change. And that's it. Thank you, Mo.
Oh, thank you, Marissa. Julie E.B., followed by Gina R. Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered one day at a time in Colorado. The cycle, the endless cycle, like going around and round on the merry-go-round. How do you know if you're one of us, if you're still suffering? How do you know if you're one of us? Have you succumbed? Do you have that feeling when you give in and just go back again to the food? Do you have that craving? It was really great on a recent meeting. I'd had a new food pop up, and someone defined a craving as something you don't know you have until you're out of it or don't have it, don't have access to it. And that really helped me open my eyes about, you know, something where my disease was trying to sneak in. With such blessings of recovery, and I was able to look again at something, and the well-known stages of a spree. What a nightmare! You know, to hear recovered people talking about this might seem also distant. But just needing more and more, and just having a little of this and then all of it, or searching the trash can, or stealing, or giving up time with family to hide away and eat, hurting those you love, and then emerging remorseful. I knew how to do that. I knew how to feel bad about myself. I felt that I was a piece of garbage. And until that, for me, the entire psychic changed. And then I'd have that firm resolution. I won't do this again. I won't do this again. I can do this. I can do this for my family. I can do this for my job. I can do this for myself and not be, 300 pounds. But or the firm resolution to diet again. And I was good at that, and I did that several times. I'm a great restrictor, and I thought I was in control of the whole world. And when I was restricting, my emotions would go on this kind of spree, and I would lash out. I would be full of fear. I would be, as my kids say, cray-cray. You were cray-cray back then. And now they can laugh about it because they've been able to see this entire psychic change. Now my entire basis isn't these nerves. I always felt life so painful, so sensitive, so difficult. I could tell you about this event happened. I had to eat. This event happened. Now it comes from the inside out. Life doesn't happen to me from the outside in. Tough things happened. Couple yesterday. Tough things happen, but from the inside out, I pray that little prayer that I talked about when I talked about my spiritual recovery, that we ask for God's care and protection with complete abandon, full not of the food, but full of giving up, having run the course our way. If you're full of giving up, having run the course your way, call, get help, put your name out there. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Gina R., followed by Robin P. Gina.
Thank you so much, Mo, and good morning, everybody. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I'm a compulsive eater who lives in Green Valley, Arizona. Yes, all of these two sentences just really resonate with me, and when I began to read this with my guide back in 2016, for some reason I was able to put down the things that at the time I had identified as my alcoholic foods. But when I got to this idea of a psychic change, that really began to further unfold for me as I continued to take this journey. And we're going to be reading in the future, and there is a solution on page 23. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. since Dr. Silkworth wrote this doctor's opinion and we've benefited from it, others have been able to come along and unpack what he actually hypothesized. I think he nailed it, but I don't think he or the times allowed for certain details to come along. And from some outside help I got from a nutritionist and then a functional neurologist who also worked in nutrition, I now know that my gut, which is where I used to say, if I could only get my gut to go along with what I'm thinking, then I will be able to do this. I will be able to not pick this stuff up. And what I've learned is they now, some people now call the gut or your intestinal system your second, and some people actually call it the first brain. That's where a lot of things happen in our bodies. Now, that doesn't necessarily relate to the psychic change because that's more of a spiritual dimension, but my experience has shown all of these work together. So I don't say the food calls to me anymore. What I know now is that I've got a system in my gut that there are critters down there that call for sugar. It calls for processed things. And it sets up an environment that sets me down the path for the disease to kick in and take over. It's only when I put those things down does that part of my body change. And it doesn't need and call for those kinds of foods anymore. So if you've been fighting that and not understanding it and you want to know a little more about that aspect of it, it definitely is an outside issue for outside help. Feel free to give me a call. My number's on the list. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jean R. Robin P., followed by Rowena K. Robin.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And thanks so much for all the shares today. I really, really appreciate them. And, it's so clear here, you know, that it can't really be missed. This horrible pattern, this painful pattern of denial this time, you know, Russian roulette this time. And I had so many of those horrifically painful this time. And then eating again, you know, and repeated over and over, unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of his recovery. And that means an entire overhaul, you know, and complete surrender. You know, self-knowledge availed me nothing. If it did, I would have been able to recover without the help of my higher power. And I had to completely surrender. And every day I surrender. And every day, you know, I'm on my knees and connecting with God and, you know, praying for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. Because or else, if I'm left to self-sufficiency, I know that Russian roulette, I just never want to go back to Russian roulette ever, ever again. Please, God. And I'm going through a lot of change right now. You know, we moved cross country. There's a lot going on. And I just get to really completely rely on God. And I'm so grateful for these phone meetings. It was such a lifeline for me. And it's such a blessing that I could move anywhere and still be connected to all of you. And thanks so much for all of your service. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin P. And before I get to Rowena K., let me remind everybody where we are for the next set of sharings. We're on page XXIX, the third line from the top, after they have succumbed to the desire again, through two sentences ending with very little hope of his recovery. Comments on those two sentences. Rowena K., you're on.
Hello, it's Rowena K. Thank you for letting me share. When I read this, I couldn't believe how accurately it describes the whole process of me binging and, you know, just how it ends in remorse and a firm resolution, because that's exactly the way it is for me. But what really stands out for me is the experience of the entire psychic change, which I think, it happens by working the steps. And for me, by looking at my resentments and I think getting rid of my defects, because or at least asking God to remove them. Because if I'm not working on those defects and, you know, praying and dealing with step 10s, then there really is very little hope of my recovery. And I think the entire psyche change also is speaking about, you know, developing conscious contact with my higher power, which is what is also, I can't say that I have conscious contact with my higher power. But what I'm actually feeling quite grateful for today is that it's something that is promised, you know, the entire psychic change is promised after working the steps. So I feel quite hopeful that the psychic change will happen for me if I'm abstinent and working the steps and working with sponsees. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you, Rowena Kay. And I'll now open the lines up for more who'd like to share.
Yeah, TV.
I got John K was in there. Okay, who's after John K? I heard Beatrice O. And there was another one in there. Laura, okay. What was your last initial, Laura?
Kathleen D.
Laura T.
T, all right. We'll stop there with Kathleen D. All right, we'll start with, I hope I have time for everybody. We'll see. Layat TD, you're on, followed by Pia S.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Oh, I love the big book. I love this meeting also. When reading, I was thinking about Dr. Silkworth, you know, sitting there after so many years of working with the alcoholic, the hopeless alcoholic that keeps repeating this behavior over and over again. And, you know, trying different psychology, moral psychology, maybe, you know, tell here, this is wrong, look what happens in your life, let's see, look at the evidence. And being unable to make that mind of the alcoholic think differently. And, yeah, it must be really frustrating. And we're not talking about people. I mean, Dr. Silkworth worked with educated, the creme de la creme, highly educated, you know, well-known people in the society. But still, they were not able to stop drinking. And so the frustration, the difficulty, and how do you help someone like that? You know, and so he realized unless something changes in their mind and the way they think, there's nothing you can do. You can't teach them, don't do that, this hurts you, look at the cause and effect. It doesn't work for me. And so what a gift. I mean, those two gifts of, you know, allergic reaction and psychic change are such an amazing gift for me and for all of us to understand. And as others shared before, my first experience with the relief and some sort of a change for this disease in me is when the allergic food, the alcoholic food and food behavior was taken away, when it was removed, put aside, entire abstinence, I started feeling an effect on my body, you know, and of course then the steps, I saw that the feeling that I felt were changing. So I think this is, I mean, the miracle that happened in my life is amazing, and I pray that it will happen for all of us, and I love you all, and I pass.
Thank you, Leah TD, Pia S., followed by Sherry KB. Pia?
Good morning, Mo. This is Pia S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm actually calling in from Oslo, Norway today, and I'm so grateful that I was able to get on the line because know, this is my morning meeting that I listen to every day, and I'm traveling, and I've been anxious because I'm going back to, you know, where I come from and where it all started. And when we read this today about that entire psychic change, this practical program of action gave me that entire psychic change. And I'm thinking about all the money that I spent on all of these diet schemes and self-help books, workshops, and also therapists. And, you know, therapists, they are very helpful, and they brought up a lot of issues that I needed to work on. But in therapy, things came up that I didn't know how to handle. And then I used the food to handle them. And also when I became abstinent and didn't work the steps, I didn't know how to handle that level of comfortability. But by working the steps, I got like this level of change that, you know, I didn't, like, I worked the program, but I didn't change myself. I couldn't change myself. So the steps made me get access to this power that changes me on a daily basis. This power takes away my character defects, and the power takes away defects I didn't even know that I had. So I'm just so grateful for this program, and I just love that I'm able to take it with me when I go places. And yeah, I just wanted to share that, and thanks, Mo, for your service, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Pia. Sherry KB, followed by John K.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And I'm so glad we're in this. These are powerful, powerful sentences, and I'm glad we're breaking them down the way we are. You know, listening to everybody, I just, you know, the word succumb means to yield, to surrender, to give in. So giving in to my disease over and over and over again. You know, if I look, I was taught when I first came into program many years ago, it was like compare myself to myself when I came in, not to compare myself to you. And, you know, if I look at my own record, I succumbed again and again and again and again. And what I succumbed to was the disease, you know, because the disease in my head, which was my self-will and my self-reliance, I always thought I could do it myself, thank you very much. You know, I grew up being taught not to rely on anything or anyone but myself, and that it was weak to rely on anything or anyone else. So, you know, I had a lot of agenda going on besides getting into this. And so, you know, the only thing that can help me, and I repeated it over and over and over again when I looked at my record, and I was relying on self-will and self-reliance. I wasn't relying on a power greater than myself, and that's what needed to happen, that psychic change. And in order to have that psychic change, I had to put the food down first, get abstinent 100%, and then work these steps like as if my life depended on it. I know people say my hair on fire like a drowning woman, but I personally like wild horses running up a canyon, you know, just as if my life depends on it. That's what I want to say. My life depended on this because I was the mental twist and the mental blank spot got together and convinced the intellect in my brain over and over again that you know, we could do this, we could do this. We don't need your help. Thank you very much. But, you know, I needed an entire psychic change. I needed to change everything about myself. And I couldn't do that without a power greater than myself and without these steps. And so I continue to do this work because my higher power continues to change me and help me to grow. But I have to start somewhere, and it's putting the food down first. The food has got to be down before you can work these steps. And without an entire psychic change means that I am willing to let my higher power run my life instead of the Sherry Show. And then before, just want to say this quickly, is that, you know, that addicted to ease and comfort, which we read yesterday, that was my problem. I wanted ease and comfort all the time, and I went to the food instead of to my higher power. And now I go to my higher power, and I get ease and comfort also with my higher power and living in these steps. And so can you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. John K., followed by Beatrice O. John.
Good morning. Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everybody. I was doing a service this morning. My name is John Kiernan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, I read that phrase, the phenomenon of craving develops. You know, I don't want to eat today, but the reason I keep coming to program and working the steps and calling my sponsor and doing service is that I don't want to eat today, you know, and those things, those little things all conglomerated, work toward that, you know. I believe the book, when it was written, supposed that people had stopped drinking, you know, even to a small extent, you know, like it spoke about a few pages back. So if we're, you know, quote, dried out from the physical allergy, as they say, we have to then spend the rest of our time, you know, keeping that obsession of the mind in the past tense. And that's what I think all this book is about, you know. And then the part where it says emerging remorseful, you know, and what that means for me is the insanity of the disease breaks, the fever breaks. And, you know, during my relapse cycle, even though I had resolved, quote unquote, the disease would then hijack my thinking, you know, and get me to eat. And then it would get me to believe the eating was my idea, not the disease's idea, which then caused all that remorse to kick in. How could I have done that again? Well, I have a disease which causes insanity, a very specific insanity. And like I always like to say, my definition that I read is just so great is a state of mind that prevents normal perception. At that moment of picking up, it seemed like a perfectly good idea. And of course it isn't, but that's why I have to keep working on that. And then, you know, once I did get into the food, then the I'll start tomorrow lie kicked in, you know. And, you know, I always share that every year at the birthday party, we have this thing where called the countdown, where people stand up and talk about having 20, 30, 40 years of abstinence. And I can guarantee not one of them ever started their abstinence on a tomorrow, you know. They didn't even start it on a today. They started now, right now. And what I do all this work for is because of something that was ringing in my ears in, I believe, the first day or two of my first program, AA, where my sponsor said, the same person drinks again. Meaning, if I don't make changes, I can have the food down, but the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking until I pick it up again. And that's why I know I have to do all this work. And I can't put it in the bank. I can't stay clean on yesterday's shower. I have to keep working on myself. And if I do, you know, I won't want to eat anymore. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John K. Beatrice O, followed by Laura T. Beatrice?
Hi, this is Beatrice O. So the psychic change, I don't know if it was a psychic change or the good Lord helping me or giving me enough wisdom, I guess, to finally surrender. And of course, I needed proof. I needed proof that I had an allergy. I needed proof that I couldn't control. And I don't know what it was and why I put down the food or why I was willing. You know, abstinence in the early days was something so elusive that I could only dream of being abstinent. I would look at speakers and say, that's what I want. I want that miracle. Well, I finally got that miracle. And is it a psychic change? Yes, I guess. But for me, it's more of a spiritual healing. And I can't even articulate God. I can't even describe it. It's a feeling. And I feel so blessed. And so if that's what the big book calls the psychic change, you know, I eat regular meals. I got rid of my substance foods. So my body doesn't have to manipulate my brain for a quick fix. And I don't starve myself because I don't need, and I don't overeat. So I have regular meals, abstinent meals, and I've been around a long time, many years, and I've done it every which way you can think of. Before I got in these rooms and after. But today I can say I have that abstinence, that God-given miracle that I used to look at people and wish I had. And I think it's because I had to surrender. I had to give up completely and stop that separation.
Time.
And allow God. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. So we have 5 minutes left. Laura T. and Kathleen D., could you each take about two and a half?
Sure. Thank you. This is Laura T. So grateful for this meeting and to everyone on the line and for your service, Mo. This paragraph greatly encapsulates the problem in a nutshell. It distinguishes between willpower and willingness. So as compulsive overeaters, we're really good at exercising what we think is our willpower. You know, like it talks about the cycle, being remorseful from the spree, you know, how many times have we woken up after a binge and saying never again, and we have firm resolve at the time, and we think that that's enough, but time and experience shows us again and again, we are totally powerless, and our willpower does not help us. You know, it tells us that self-will or self-knowledge avails us nothing. And so we were really using food. We thought food was our problem, so we tried to control it, but really we were using it as our solution, which was killing us, right? So this book provides us, this wonderful, wonderful big book provides us the real solution and the psychic change, which we need to have a willingness for. And oftentimes what it takes to be willing to do the work is some pretty horrific stuff. But, you know, once we start working the program, we can look at that as gifts because we can use those experiences to help other people. And this is a we program, and our medicine really is working with other people and carrying the message. So with that, I pass. Mo, do I leave contact information now or later?
Later, when the recording ends. Thank you. Just stay on the line. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for keeping it short, Laura T. Kathleen D., give you about 2.5 minutes also.
All right. Thank you so much. Kathleen D. from Northern California. Yeah, this is a very interesting topic for me. I'm a person in programs since 2003 and enjoyed a period of relief and abstinence for 8 years and fell out of that abstinence. And all I had to work with was what I was taught about relapse and willfulness and connecting with God. And it was a very bewildering time for me. I spent a few years not being able to get back on the beam. And then I learned, and I can relate to the woman that spoke about the mind-gut connection. I learned about something that absolutely fit into everything I learned in my 12-step life. That gave me an abstinence that made me understand what really was happening in my body and in my disease. It helped me understand why my disease is progressive. And really for me, I'll just speak for myself, what the mechanics are in the body when I eat, even abstinent food, that's what's crazy. I fell out of abstinence eating abstinence food abstinently, and I would have never come up with that. Except my higher power stumbled me upon a place, and now I have the relief to have an abstinence that's based in science, that eats in a way that is healing my body that has the disease of obesity and gives me the opportunity to continue to study, to have a right life and be able to carry the message to others. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Perfect timing. Thank you, everybody, for your shares and for Team Tuesday for making this meeting possible. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Wendy B. please read a vision for you?
Yeah, sorry. The delay, I was on meeting. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.